Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Calder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, the reason it's necessary to go back to original Christianity is because there's so much fake Christianity out there. You heard of the fake news? That they tell lies, that they don't tell the truth, they don't really tell the whole story. Well, fake news has nothing compared to fake Christianity. Because they say it's no longer necessary to be baptized in water. And they use a couple examples from the scripture to show that. One of them is when Peter went to Cornelius, the Roman centurion, and his household, all of them Gentiles. As Peter was preaching to them, they all believed, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And so they say, well, you don't need to be baptized to receive the Holy Spirit. Not true. The reason that that was done was because God was showing Peter, a Jew, that God was going to bring the Gentiles and convert them and give them the Holy Spirit. So Peter said, after he saw that the Holy Spirit came upon them, who can deny baptism? So they were all baptized. And that was the special one-time event to show that God was going to bring the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles as well. So let's look at baptism. And let's see that baptism is necessary. And we will see there is a direct command from Jesus Christ himself to his apostles. Just before he ascended to heaven the second time and would not return until he comes with his second coming, okay, which is yet ahead of us. So notice what he said to them. Matthew 28. And how he said it. And why we must be baptized. Verse 16, now the 11 disciples went into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them to meet him, that is, after his resurrection. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, now notice this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, that's quite a statement, isn't it? You think about that with so many religious leaders. Was never given to Peter. Was never given to a pope. It was never given to evangelists. Because whoever is a disciple or teacher of the Word of God must go by the Word of God, not their own ideas. And all authority and all power resides with Jesus. So he tells them, therefore, go and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them. I want you to think on that phrase, baptizing them, into the name of the Father because we received the Spirit from him, and of the Son because it's through his sacrifice by which we have our sins forgiven, and of the Holy Spirit, which is the begettal of the Holy Spirit that comes from God after baptism. Notice, baptizing them. And then the Holy Spirit comes after, verse 19, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the completion of the age. Now, those few verses tell us an awful lot. Number one, they're to make disciples. Number two, the disciples are to be baptized. Were those of the household of Cornelius baptized? Yes. But because of the traditions of the Jews to have nothing to do with the Gentiles, God did it this way to show Peter that they were to receive the Holy Spirit. So God gave that one group, that one time, the Holy Spirit, so that Peter would know that they had to be baptized, and he baptized them. Now then, since Jesus said this is all authority given to him, it's by Jesus' authority that there is to be baptism. Right? Yes, indeed. Now notice verse 20, teaching them to observe all things, not some of them, not those you agree with, not those that you think are better than others, but all things. Is baptism part of all things? Yes, it is. And lo, I am with you always, even to the completion of the age. And in another place we know the church never died out. Now that's quite interesting, isn't it? Huh? So if you know any LDS or Mormons, you got another fake Christianity. Because their leader, a man, said that he got a vision from God when he fell on his back, and you never worship God on your back. That vision said the church died out, and he was raising the church up through him. Well, just so happens, in 1850, when he got that vision, there was a true church of God only 50 miles from where he had that vision. So that was a demonic vision, and that was not Jesus Christ. So let's come to Mark, the first chapter, just across the page there. And let's see something that Jesus did. Now, we saw in a segment here previously that Jesus was born of the flesh from his fleshly mother, Mary. And Paul writes that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. All right? Then he grew up, and when he was 30, he came to John the Baptist to be baptized, to show all of us that if Jesus was baptized, we must be baptized. We can't take the word of some nonsensical preacher who says, well, today you don't need to do it. And by the way, the law has been done away. And blah, 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 all of the false notions that are coming out of fake Christianity. So let's read it. Mark the first chapter, verse 7. And he preached, saying, the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. So he knew he was the forerunner to Jesus Christ, to prepare the way of the Lord. Of whom I am not worthy to stoop down and loose the thong of his sandals. I've indeed baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That is, you cannot receive the Holy Spirit unless you've been baptized by water and laying on of hands. Let's go on. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Now, why was Jesus baptized by John? Jesus had no sin. He did no sin. But he did this to fulfill all righteousness and to show us that if Jesus was baptized, we need to be baptized, right? Didn't we just read that Jesus commanded baptizing them? Throughout all the time between his ascending to heaven and his return to earth at his second coming, right? Okay, let's go on. And he saw the heavens open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, you are my son, the beloved, in whom I have great delight. Now then, after he went out and was tempted by Satan, the devil, And he went through quite a temptation. That's another whole topic, and we'll cover that later. But after that, notice verse 14. And after the imprisonment of John, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time has been fulfilled. All the prophecies about the first coming of Jesus began to be coming fulfilled and unfolding. And the kingdom of God is near at hand. That is, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was there in the flesh and preaching and teaching, and he was a direct representative of the coming kingdom of God and the future king of that kingdom. Now continuing, what's the first thing he says? Repent! Now we'll talk about repentance in a minute. But repentance is the key, and repentance is necessary. But here's what you are also to do. As well as repent, you are to believe in the gospel. And that is the whole message of Jesus Christ. And you are to believe all the word of God. Because Jesus said he didn't come to abolish, like fake Christianity tells you. We will see. You have to love and obey God and keep his commandments. Now let's come to John, the third chapter, and let's see what else we are to believe. We are to believe in Jesus Christ. We are to believe in God the Father. He didn't limit what you should believe. It wasn't just a thought that you come to one time and you don't have it again. Believe is continuously believing, as found here in the most quoted verse of the Protestants. See, because God wants you converted. Forgiveness of sin is only the first step. Question, if you're running a race, is the first step the completion of the race? Or do you have to go all the way to the end and cross the finish line? But of course you do. Now let's pick it up here in verse 16. Now, here's the proper translation of it. And by the way, if you don't have the Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version with commentary, you need to go online to Original Bible Restored, and you can order it because it takes away all the errors of the King James. And yes, there are a lot of them there. And sticks true to the Greek and to the Hebrew, and presents to you a faithful version, the true words of God, and that's all part of restoring original Christianity for today. The whole Bible, without the mistakes and incursions and false interpretations and false doctrines of fake Christianity. Now, John 3. Verse 16, for God so loved the world. Yes, God does love the world. And fake Christianity says God's love is unconditional.
You need to begin to think and say, I would suggest 50 times a day to start with, God loves me unconditionally, and I am in right standing with God. God loves me unconditionally. He doesn't love me because of anything I do or don't do. God just loves me. There's nothing I can do about it.
No, it's not. It's everlasting. Because you have to read the ifs. Okay? And here in these verses, the if is implied in the original Greek. So let's read it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him may, subjunctive, not perish, but may have everlasting life. Now, the subjunctive means there are conditions. What are the conditions? Well, let's come to the book of Acts. Here on the day of Pentecost, God sent the Holy Spirit and began the church with powerful preaching by all of the apostles who spoke in their own language, but it came out of their mouths into the ears of those who understood many different languages. And they were astonished. What could this be? So let's look at what Peter said and why it's necessary to be baptized. Let's pick it up here in verse 32, Acts the second chapter. This Jesus is God raised up, that is from the dead, whereof we are all witnesses. They all saw him, plus over 500 brethren at a time down in Galilee. Therefore, having been exalted by the right hand of God, and having received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father, which came on that day, he has poured out this that you are now witnessing and hearing. And that was quite an event that took place. And there's a reason for it, so that we will understand that we need to be baptized. When we come to God, when we want Jesus, when Jesus calls us, when the Father calls us, and we come to God and answer that call, we must be baptized. Now here, there were some of those there who had previously stood out with the crowd and said to Pilate in yelling and screaming, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Now think about that sin, and think about how some of them felt, and think about what Peter did with bringing this message to them. Verse 34, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said to him, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I've made your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know with full assurance, not a doubt, you can't doubt this, that God has made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, fulfilling 356 prophecies of Jesus from the Old Testament. Now, we've got a booklet on that, so if you want that, you can write for it. Now, notice, verse 37. Now, after hearing this, they were cut to the heart. Now, when you repent, that's what happens. You cut to the heart. You see your sin, the transgressions of the laws and commandments of God, and going against God. Think about it. How many commandments do you break? How many laws do you transgress? Just in daily living, and yet you may think you're a righteous person. They were cut to the heart, because repentance goes to the depth of your being to confess them to God. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. There it is right there. Okay? Repentance means stop your way of living. Turn around and go God's way. Following Christ. Keeping the commandments of God, loving God, loving the truth, loving the brethren, and, notice, be baptized, and that is a burial, a covenant symbolic death. And we've got a booklet. What is the true meaning of water baptism? It is a wonderful thing for you to understand and why it is necessary. That you, having sinned, and the wages of sin is what? Death. God takes the sacrifice and blood of Jesus Christ to forgive your sins. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you yourselves shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the whole purpose of it. And we will see that to receive the Holy Spirit is called the begettal from the Father. Where the Holy Spirit of God comes to you and unites with your spirit of man, and now you have the Spirit of God within you, and you can't get it any other way. Now let's read on. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all of those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God may call. Jesus also said in another place in Matthew 20, many are called, but few are chosen. Now, why would he say that? Well, at this time in this age, many are called, but few repent. That's why few are chosen. Are you willing to really repent? Face yourself for what you really, really are down into the depths of your being, and that you want all of these sins buried in the watery grave of baptism by full immersion. That washes away your sins. Verse 40, and with many other words he earnestly testified and exhorted, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Now, if that generation was perverse, what do you think about this generation today? Baptism is necessary. Now, let's look at the calling of Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. Now, Saul was out arresting, chaining, carting off to jail those who believed in Jesus, those who had repented and were baptized. And he was under the authority of the chief priest. So on his way to Damascus to take more into prison, Jesus knocked him down on the road, and that's how he was called. And Jesus told him, why do you persecute me, Saul? And he said, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now arise and go into Damascus. And he was blind after that, had to be led in there. And then Ananias, an elder of the church there in Damascus and a disciple of Jesus, was given a vision by an angel to go find Saul and baptize him, because he's been chosen to preach. Here's the instructions to Ananias. Acts 9, verse 15. And the Lord said to him, go, for this man is a chosen vessel to me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name. And yes, you find that in the writings of Paul. Verse 17, then Ananias went away and came into the house, and after laying hands on him, he said, brother Saul, the Lord has sent me, even Jesus, who appeared to you on the road in which you came, so that you might receive sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was as if scales immediately fell from his eyes, and he instantly received sight and arose and was baptized. And it says in the account that Paul spoke of later, to wash away his sins. Now think of the sins that Saul had. Did God forgive him? Yes. Did he wipe those away? Yes. What about you? Do you think that you can go on with your life in a partial belief of Jesus Do you think that you can selectively choose what you want and that God must acknowledge you? The answer is no. But are you willing to really repent? Repent deeply and profoundly of your way of living, of those thoughts in your mind, of your actions that you have committed? Are you willing to turn from that and walk in the way of the Lord as found in the Bible, the way that God shows we must do, every single one of us? If you are, then you need to contact us by email or by phone or by letter, and we can have you talk to one of our elders so that you can be baptized properly. We'll see in the next segment or two that if you were baptized once in a fake Christianity and you weren't keeping the works of God as he has said, then you need to be baptized again. A true baptism, a true burial of the old self. So, this is what baptism means. And this is why baptism is required, so that we can have contact with God, receive his Holy Spirit, have our sins forgiven, and we can walk in newness of life with God's Spirit to lead us and guide us. This is the whole purpose of the beginning of becoming a true Christian. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.